Hey, what's up, everybody? It's your boy, Christopher Terrence Jones. How are you doing? Hope all is well with you. Hope you're having a fabulous day, week, month, life, year, everything, in spite of all we're going through. You guys know what to do right now. Share the podcast. Don't keep it to yourself. Tell a friend, because you want to be on this journey with Christopher Terrence Jones. It's an amazing one. So much is going on. So much. I want to talk about some things, but I have to start here. I could not mention this. We lost Tracy Braxton, y'all. If you don't know who Tracy Braxton is, she is from the Braxton family. Tracy, Tawanda, Tamar, Tony, and Trina. You guys know there was an amazing show, Braxton Family Values. I want y'all to know cancer is a bitch. It really is. I saw the post from Tony and my heart just began to hurt. Tracy was only 50 years old and she battled in quiet. No one knew but the family. And I tell you guys, I've lost so many people to cancer. It's such a hard pill to swallow. Because there's nothing you can do. When cancer has its ugly hold on you and its grip, it can take you out. Whether you want to go or not. God has the final say, and I know we have to accept these things, but they hurt. They hurt. Oh my God, they hurt, they hurt, they hurt. My topic today, you know, that I am going to talk about later on. I just wanted to get some other stuff off first, but is letting go. And what led me to talk about this, about letting go, is some issues that I'll tell y'all more about as I talk about that. But I don't want to get emotional. I try not to. Lord have mercy. I try not to go there. But my cousin called me to tell me that my aunt has cancer. And stage 4. And I was just like really devastated. It was already a rough day because I had been having a rough week. Y'all know my stepfather passed away. And so in my feelings about that and just so many other things going on and work life is busy. So, you know, you're trying to deal with all this stuff at one time, but you just get bogged down and it just weighs and weighs and weighs and weighs on you. So I was at work just bawling. I was just sitting there crying. It was so much because I really just at this point where I don't want to lose another family member. I'm tired of that being my life. And I always say tomorrow's not promised. So that's why you got to get out and live. So continue to pray for my aunt. Because I want to believe God for a healing. But I know we have to say, let your will be done. No matter what, we have to say that. And we have to be ready for that. And stand on, let your will be done. So, we always are not always ready. So I can just imagine. Here it is. Your sister is battling in quiet. And then that time comes where everybody's in the room. And you know this is it. Pray for her kids. Pray for her grandchildren. Pray for the sisters. Pray for her mom and her dad. It's so hard to lose a sibling, but just imagine when it's a parent losing their child. You just be like, this really is not happening. This really is not happening. Why, Jesus, is this even happening? So my heart goes out to them. Prayers go out to them. Know that they love. So just, you know, send your love. Send your love. We're in the middle of war. We're in the middle of a war. Russia is just Putin. This ain't nothing but, I ain't even gonna say Russia. This just Putin is just acting a fool with Ukraine and doing stuff. And when we're watching, I'm watching the news. I'm looking at the people who are from Africa. And they're not being able to be evacuated because even in the midst of chaos, even in the midst of tragedy, the black people are not being able to get out. I'm like, come on. Are you serious? This just makes no sense. No sense at all. Why are we here? Why is this going on like this? Praying for all of those in Ukraine, praying for those who have family in Ukraine who are sitting here wondering what's going on because they can't reach their family. Then, I'm telling y'all, there's just so much going on. Jussie Smollett was sentenced to 150 days in jail. Now, y'all gonna be mad at me. Y'all are going to be mad at me because I do not believe that he did this. I believe he was set up. And I really believe that Lee Daniels was behind it because what would Jussie have gotten out of this? What was this hoax going to do for him? What it did for Lee Daniels was, you ain't got to pay him no more. He's out the contract. And y'all already know Lee Daniels is a snake. Snake. All you have to do is look at what he did to Monique. And my heart hurts because 150 days in jail, 30 months of felony probation, and $120,000 in restitution to the city of Chicago, and a $25,000 fine. But the judge says, he's arrogant, selfish, and he did damage to real victims of hate crimes. So my question is, let me just ask this question. So when the women lie and say that somebody has raped them, do they go to jail? When the women lie on celebrities to try to get money out of them, do they go to jail? No. They don't. They walk away. They tarnish people's reputation. Because at that point, let's just be real. Most folks are still going to think that that person is a rapist. Even if there are no facts, people are going to say, oh yeah, he raped that person. But the person came out and said they lied. The case got dismissed. But in some people's mind, that never changes. I just don't think we ever gonna know the truth of this thing until Lee Daniels speaks up. But I may be wrong. I may be wrong. But right now, in my mind, Lee Daniels did this to set him up. I just don't understand. Everybody else get away with all kind of murder. But like I said, he's black. He's a black male. You're going to jail. Jail is where he's going to be. And I'm hoping and praying that something happens that he's able to get his life back. At least back to where he wants it to be. Lord, 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 why? Why? Jesse is going down. And you know, of course, he said himself, the only reason that I got jail time is because I'm black. And we know that. Because I don't even want to go there. I don't even want to embark on all of these cops who have killed innocent black men who have not went to jail. Let's just 2 seconds on this, and then I'm going to switch on over. 2 seconds. I've always wondered in my mind what it would like to be in a world where black folks were on top and the white folks were not. Where the black man was the dominant man. The black man was the king. I've always wondered that, because as much as people say things are changing, nothing's changing. Yeah, we're out of slavery, but we're just in another form of slavery. We continue to be held hostage and held bound up because white people are the people in control. And then we get the brainwashed black people who push the white agenda and think that everything the white people say is true. I was on Twitter this morning and Justice Clarence Thomas was trending. And I was like, oh, he's retiring. Good. I got happy and I got excited. Psh. That is not what it was. He was trending because he writing a book. Y'all, if you don't know who Clarence Thomas is, he is on the Supreme Court. I would really hope that you already know who he is. I shouldn't have to tell you who he is, but there are some people out there that don't know who he is. But Clarence Thomas is one of the justices on the Supreme Court. And he was in a situation with, oh my God, why did her name just go blank on me? How I found out about him was because, oh Lord, what is her name? Anita Hill. I'm sorry, y'all. Anita Hill. Anita Hill had allegations against him of basically like sexual misconduct. And there was these whole hearings. And I mean, they went on, seemed like forever. So I was watching the whole hearing. And this was right before he was going to be confirmed for the, to become a Supreme Court justice. And the whole world got to watch this play out on TV. So I was like, oh, I really want to know who Justice Thomas is. I want to know who Clarence Thomas is. So I went and started researching. I went and bought a book on him. And if I tell you, after reading his book, I was so disgusted. I was so disgusted with the fact that this black man really is not a black man. And he just does whatever that's going to get him in with the white people. So I was wondering why he was trending. I'm telling y'all, I thought he was retiring. I got so excited. He ain't retiring. He over here hooping and hollering about cancel culture. And he was in Salt Lake City for an event that was hosted by a former Republican, U.S. Senator Orrin Hatch's foundation. Now, he's the most senior justice on the court. And he said he worries about long-term repercussions of trends such as cancel culture and lack of civil debate. You can cavalierly talk about packing or stacking the court. You can cavalierly talk about doing this or doing that. At some point, the institution is going to be compromised. This is what he told an audience at the Salt Lake City thing. By doing this, you continue to chip away at the respect of the institutions that the next generation is going to need if they're going to have civil society. He went on to say, I'm afraid, particularly in this world of cancel culture attack, I don't know where you're going to learn to engage as we did when I grew up. If you don't learn at that level in high school, in grammar school, in your neighborhood, or in civic organizations, then how do you have it when you're making decisions in government, in the legislature, or in the courts? So, sir, I just have a problem. I just have a problem. When you say, then how do you have it when you're making decisions in government? Decisions in government is based on money and based on who gets the best part of it. If I pay you, this is going to be a bill that's going to get pushed through. If I give you money under the table, you're going to push this bill through, not caring about the people that is hurting along the way. Not caring if it's going to take the food out of kids' mouths by shutting down after school programs. But we have billions of dollars to send men to the moon. We got billions of dollars for senators to remodel their offices. Billions of dollars for these people to act like they don't work for the people. Because, you know, they get there and they forget that the people elected you. The people elected you to be the voice for them on the Hill. To be there and set up policies that will affect the people in a positive way, not in a negative way. It's like I tell my friends all the time, if you don't believe that laws change and can get passed by common people, come into the school bus world. Every time there's an accident, every time there's an accident, it could be with a city bus, it could be with a paratransit vehicle, it could be anything. As long as there was some type of kid involved, we get a new law. The red lights on the school bus used to not come on only when you had to cross kids. The rest of the time, you turned, stopped, and the kids got out and they went on their merry little way. Now, every time you stop, you got to turn the red lights on. Why? Because a little kid down in Southern California was on a school bus, new kid. The kid told the driver to stop. Kid got off at the wrong stop, ahead of their stop, and didn't realize that the house was on the other side of the street, got confused because they had just moved there, and the kid got hit crossing the street after the bus was gone. The parents sued the district. The parents sued the bus driver. The parents sued everybody. And that still wasn't enough. They then went and was like, there needs to be something that lets everybody know. And that's how we ended up with red lights. And it was so confusing. They rushed to get this thing through so fast that when it came out, is every time you stop, you got to turn the red lights on. So here we are pulling up at the school, and as long as the kids is loading and unloading, we got the red lights on. So we're sitting at a school blocking traffic, red lights on, blocking traffic, red lights on. It was so chaotic for the first 3 or 4 weeks while they were in there trying to rewrite and trying to get this thing because it was rushed through. Look, I am all for protecting the kids. But sometimes you need to think about things before you do them. And this law was just so crazy. And then here's the thing. You didn't even get the CHP behind you or the city police behind you to enforce the law. If you go to other states, when them red lights come on, they stop. I don't care if they go on the other way. They stop. Red lights mean stop. Mm-mm. Not here. These people will run you over, will mow you down. So that's why I said laws can be changed, but people don't believe it. So the black community doesn't want to vote. They don't want to come out. You have some that do, but there's a large population that does not vote. Laws can be changed, but people don't believe it. There should be all kind of laws that say anything that looks like racism, you're out. Anything. If somebody comes into the workplace and they feel like they're being treated or disrespected because of their race, that should be an automatic termination. Automatic termination. Because nobody should see color when you work in a job. There is no color. Just like as a school bus driver, there is no color. It's not a black driver, white driver. It's a school bus driver. There is no color in that. The kids don't care what color you are. The kids only are concerned that there is a body in that bus, and the bus comes and picks them up. That's all that matters to them. So, y'all think about these things. So much to think about. And we need to step up and do our part. Do your part. Do your part. Do your part. Otherwise, we just royally screwed. So, letting go. So, like I said, my stepfather passed. And you guys know I've had a rocky, rocky relationship with my mother. It's just been where I'm tired of it. So I did something It was the anniversary of my dad's passing. And I made a decision that I was going to remove my mother from my Facebook. Because I need to move on. I love her because she's my mother. But that doesn't mean I have to be around her. That doesn't mean I have to have her in my life. Because negativity will continue to hold you down and have you just messed up. So I made the decision. And when I made the decision to let go and go on my merry little way, I was just in a crazy place. So I'm sitting at work, made that decision. Right after that, my cousin calls and says my aunt has cancer. So now I'm crying at work. I'm so messed up. I'm so messed up. And I'm like, what do I do now? I'm all alone. I really am feeling all alone. And went on through the day, did my route, came home, was training the next day, and I get an instant message on Facebook. And it was from a lady that I didn't know. And the lady says, did you do Ancestry? And I was like, yeah. And she says, we're cousins. I found you via Ancestry. And she screenshots the Ancestry. Now, remember, y'all, I did Ancestry. I had not been on Ancestry in a while. And because I was kind of getting frustrated with Ancestry, because remember, I started this endeavor. I told you guys, I got it like in December of, ooh, wow. Not even last year, because this is a new year. December of, this is 22. Last year was 21. December of 2020. And I sent it in so I got it, technically, y'all, I really got it before that. And I was having some feelings about it, so I hadn't did it. And I had it, and it was just sitting there, and I hadn't used it. But I sent it in December, and then I got the results, I think, in March. And I found out that the man that I thought was my father, Arthur Jones, may he rest in peace, was actually not my father. So I was like, okay. Now, remember I told you guys, my mother had told me that she wasn't sure if he was my dad. And then she came back and said she was sure. And then I told you I spoke with him years after that conversation with her. And he said he knew he wasn't my father. But he raised me as his. And we left it at that. And I kept going. And, you know, it's my dad. So be it. That's where we are. Well, I felt like he had no reason to lie. And what was he going to do? So, you know, kept on moving. You know, he's my dad. Well, here we do Ancestry. Dana comes back because Dana don't lie, y'all. Dana don't lie. Dana don't lie. Dana said 99.9, he is not the father. And I was in Oregon, y'all. So I was in a hotel room by myself, just devastated. Oh, my God. It really is true. It really is true. And I was like, okay. So that went on. And Ancestry has this way where in order for you to really get information, you got to keep giving them money. And I just was like, I'm not going to keep giving you money when you're not going to get me to where I really need to be. And by the time you get me to where I really want to be, if you ever get me there, you done got rich off of me. So my goal was to just, if I could get to a first cousin, if I could find a first cousin. And it wasn't happening. It wasn't happening. And then I found a second cousin who I really believe is a third cousin, because they didn't have any information and couldn't figure anything out. And so I was like, okay, I'm not paying no more for this. I'm over this. I'm about to let this bad boy go. That must have been June of last year. So all this time, and then I get this message, and her last name, get this, y'all. Y'all ready for this? Her last name is Jones. So when she hits me up, I'm like, oh, yeah, I did Ancestry. And she starts giving me all of this information. And she showed me how I came up in her family tree. I'm like, wow. And I said, well, I'm at work, y'all. I'm at training. So I'm trying to answer messages in between and stuff like that. And I'm like, I'm not understanding. Nah, this can't be. And so we keep sending messages back and forth. And finally, I was done training. And I was like, I just need to call you. I need to talk because I'm so confused. And I had already said, look, there's no way we could be related, because I found out the man that I thought was my father, who is the Jones, is not. He's not my father. So how can I be related to you? So then she says, well, you know what? I just found my sister. And my sister thought somebody else was her dad. And turned to find out he wasn't. So they have just recently met. I'm like, wow. Now I'm telling y'all, I'm already such an emotional wreck from the day before. God knew to send this young lady at the perfect timing. We were on the phone for like 7 hours. I'm telling y'all, she lives in Chicago. And the perfect connection. It felt right. It wasn't like I'm getting somebody who just spiteful or whatever. It was, I'm telling y'all, freaking amazing. And it was much needed. So it keeps the journey going for me. And it must be the path that I'm supposed to be on. Because maybe a week or so after that, I got another message from Ancestry. And this person, according to Ancestry, is my second cousin. So I really need to respond now to that person. Because if they're a second cousin, that means they could possibly know who my dad is. And I told you guys, when I started this, I wasn't looking for, and I'm still not looking for, not looking to have a relationship and be like, hey, dad, hey, pop, hey, daddy. I'm not there. Because there's so many things in my head. But I just want to meet the person, know who he is, and then I think I should just be all right. I think I will be all right if I could do just that piece. Because I'm not ready to try and cultivate a relationship. And I'm really not ready to try and cultivate a relationship or build a relationship with siblings, if I have those. Because there's so many things in my mind that, you know, here's just one. Here's just one. What if I find out I have siblings and because of my age, what if it turns out I'm the oldest child? And all this time, one of them, if I have more than one sibling, they've been thinking that they're the oldest. Or what if it's their the only child and now they find out they're not the only, and now they have to share their father? And I'm just not ready for that. That whole thing to play out. That's not a space that I'm in. Because I know me. Half the time I don't like people. So I know me. So I'll keep y'all up on that as that journey's on. And so how I got to letting go was because my mother started this whole thing. She could have took this to her grave with her, and I would have never known. I would have just been like, that's my father. Boom, boom, bam, that's it. He's on my birth certificate. So let's keep it moving. Let's keep it moving. And it just be what it is. But I guess that wasn't my plan for life. It wasn't the game plan. So now I have to get my emotions together, get my mind right, and say, hey, do you really want to go all the way through with this? Do you want to see the end? No matter what it costs, no matter how much it hurts, no matter what you got to go through, do you want to see the end? My answer is yes. I want to see the end. I want to meet him. Know who he is, know where he is, just to look at him. That's where I'm at. But in order to do that, I really have to let go of my mother. Because in her mind, y'all, everything that she has done, she felt is right. The hurt that she's caused me, it's not. And I never want anybody to have to grieve and be without the person that they love. And she's going through that right now. That's a hard pill to swallow. Grieving is no fun. So when you thinking that you talking about folks because they lost a loved one and you talk about them, there's going to be a time when you're going to be in that same seat. And you can say Christopher Terrence Jones told you, remember when I told you not to talk about somebody and not to give somebody the blues when they've lost someone? Because grief comes in different forms, and some people can handle it and some people can't handle it. And I know all the hurt that I have endured, I don't wish it on nobody. So with my mother being in the same space of negativity, I don't want to bring you on in this journey with me. I don't. Because what am I bringing you on for when you don't want to be held accountable for your actions? And my mother sent me some crazy text messages and talked about how I'm putting her business out on social media. And I'm sitting here like, I'm not putting your business out on social media. They don't know your name. Half the people don't even know you are still alive. People ask me, oh, I didn't know your mother was alive. Because you never talk about her. This is not about you. Where I am right now, this journey is all about me. This journey is for me to get to where I need to be, to accept some things about me. It has nothing to do with you. So get out your feelings, but don't worry. You don't have to worry now because I won't be picking up the phone to call you. I have to let you go. I can't keep being the one that's always trying to fix the situation. Because y'all, and this applies to so many different people, we get into these situations and stuff happens, and it's always one side is always trying to make the situation right. One side is always doing it. The other person really don't care. So since you don't care, I'm good. I'm good. And the reason why I can say this is my mother, when she put me out, I was 16, y'all. I was 16. I was still a child. Was not finished with school. And even before that, my mother and I relationship was not the best. So you put me out at 16. I had nowhere to go. I was not even old enough to get an apartment. I was not old enough to get a hotel room. And you didn't care. You didn't care if I died. You didn't care about anything because you put me out. And I still worked at trying to have a relationship with you. I still. And I was always the one piecing back together. Now, let me make this clear. I have never went back and lived in my mother's house. Let me tell y'all. Y'all know I've talked about being homeless. I have been homeless and did not call her and say, I don't have nowhere to go. I will sleep in my car before I do that. Just it wasn't my thing to do. So when you don't try to make amends with your child, when you don't try to make things right, why am I continuing to bring you on in this journey of my life? COVID has had us bound for 2 years where we have lost so many people. So many people. So why do I need to drag you on? And let me tell y'all, I'm good with it. Because here's the thing. The reason why I say that I'm good with it, I'm going to be all right. When my mother sent me the last text message that she sent me, there was no follow-up. You never even text back. You never did anything. First off, why are you texting me? Why are you texting me? If you wanted to say something, you could have left a voice message if you thought I wasn't going to answer the phone. But why am I getting a text message? So since that's all I was worthy of was a text message, then that's fine. Do you, and I will do me. And I'm not mad about it. I'm not mad about it. I have no reason to be mad about it. I have just moved on. So, holidays were always rough for me because I was left at home, left alone, all by myself on holidays. She was off with his family. So, it's not new to me. It's what I've been doing all my life. And I have to remind y'all again, I was 13 when she married my stepfather. And I was 16 when she put me out. 16. And people were like, there's no way I would put my child out. My child came first. I didn't get in a relationship because I needed to make sure my kids were taken care of. Well, that never happened in my world because I didn't matter. So the more I look at stuff, and I'm not acting like I was some perfect child and I did all of this and did all of that. I'm far from it, baby. I'm far from it. But I never did anything that would allow you to be all right with pushing me away. Everything that we're in this reason is because of you. You made the decisions to do the things that you did, and you were all right with it. So the next phase of our life, I just need you to be all right with it because I don't want to have anything else to do with you. That's where I am. That's where I am. I just don't. I won't be calling. Nothing. I'm moving on with my life. Sometimes we have to let go of things that hurt us the most. Let go of things so that you can have peace. So that you can have sanity. So that you can move on with your life. Oh, and I just, if you're listening, I meant what I said. When I said something to somebody, I meant what I said. You have to let go in order for you to meet the person that you're going to move on with in the next phase, because holding on is hindering you from your next relationship. And that's specifically for somebody. And I want y'all to know I was just saying this to somebody, because we hold on to stuff, and the stuff that we're holding on to blocks us from our next destination, our next relationship, our peace of mind, because we're holding on to stuff that hurts. We're holding on to shoulda, coulda, wouldas. And if you guys are watching Tyler Perry's Sisters, it's so perfect right now with the relationship that Zach had. And he's moved on with Fatima. But I can't remember her name, y'all. I can't remember her name. His ex can't let go because he's turned into this positive man with Fatima. He's doing all this. He came into the money. He's built, got this house, got the car. He's everything now. But he didn't have all of that when he was with her. And Fatima is saying how much he's the perfect man for her. Sometimes you gotta let go. Because you invest in somebody. And when you invest in them, it's not always guaranteed that you're gonna work out. Because the investing that you're doing in them is building them for the person that they're gonna be with for long term. It's not always guaranteed that it's gonna be you. And I was saying that to the guy today, that you have to let go because you're hindering yourself from getting with the next person who can give you everything that you want. Everything that you want. We block our blessings because we refuse to let go of past relationships, past hurts, past loves, past failures. Some people even can't get past the last success. They hold on to the last thing that they triumphed over, but there's several other things now that you need to triumph over, but they're stuck there. And it just couldn't get no better. My niece was talking about she went on a date and the young man had never been to a Benihana or restaurants where they cook right there in front of you. So they do all the grilling and stuff. It's an Asian restaurant, for those that don't know. Well, he had never been and didn't know what to do. She went back and looked at his birthday and his stories on Instagram. After he went with her, he took all of his friends. She opened the door for him to learn something new. And I said, no matter what you think about it, you just help the community. Because here he went and took 10 friends who had never been there before. And I'm sure the conversation, I went on a date here. And so now they're going to take the young ladies that they're dating. Now this is a new spot for them to go to. But he's not going to be the person that my niece is going to continue to date. She invested in him something that he needed for that moment and then able to let go and move on. Don't keep yourself stuck because you refuse to let go. You love the person. There's somebody else out there. Your job could be a hindrance, blocking you from getting to the next level of your career. Saying, oh, I'll do it next month. I'll do it next month. Let me tell y'all, school could be a hindrance. Some people stay in school because they're scared to not be in school. Let it go. Let it go. Everything that is stopping you from getting to the next phase of where you're supposed to be in life, you have to let it go. I'm not going to say it's easy. I'm not going to say it's fun. But you have to let go. Step out of your comfort zone. And move on. There is a brighter day coming. There is a better day coming. So, just hold on. Don't give up. Stay encouraged. And be like me. If you need to talk, let's talk. I'm here for you. Inbox me. Y'all know. When you're sharing and telling your friends, inbox me if you have any questions at Mr. Chris T. Jones at gmail.com. I'm here for you. Let go of COVID. Let it go. 2 years. Let it go. God allowed it to happen. So if he allowed it to happen, it was something to build us up. And it was something for us to remember. Let it go. Dwayne Woods used to, well, he sings a song, Let Go, Let God. So if you let go and let God have his way, just imagine how things are changing your life. Let God have full control and be fully committed to him. For those of you that are not saved and don't know the Lord, whatever higher power that is guiding you, let go. And let that higher power be in control. I'm not going to force you to be a Christian. I'm not going to force you to do anything that you don't want to do, but I offer Christ to you. He is the way, the only way, the truth, and the light. No man shall come unless they come by him. Ooh, I didn't know I was going to end all churchy. Just end churchy on the end. That's why I'm going to end like this. I'm letting go of past hurts from relationships so that I can make way for my future. I'm not going to bring baggage from former relationships into this because I don't want you to be what he was, which is the reason why we didn't make it. So I'm giving you all the chances without judging you. Letting go and being all right with it. Letting go and moving on. Letting go and knowing that there's something better in store for me. Because there is somebody out there for everybody. I'm jaded, and I'm trying to tell myself. So if I can tell myself that, you got to know that there's somebody out there for you. All you got to do is get out the way. Get out the way and open your heart and be ready to receive love. Be ready to give love because there's somebody waiting. Sometimes they're right on the other side of the door. Sometimes they've been in your face the whole time. And, oof, Lord, sometimes it's somebody you least expected. Terry McMillan wrote a book, When Least Expected. So it's your boy, Christopher Terrence Jones. I'm out. Let go. Don't hold on no more. Share this podcast. I'll see you again soon, real soon. Love you guys. Stay encouraged. Stay strong. Keep moving. And be positive. Peace.